Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Matthew 24, and we're going to read together verses 32 through 35, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this awesome day. And Lord, our heart cry right now is for those, Lord, that have been displaced in Houston and now this monstrous storm that's hitting Florida. Oh God, help us, God. Help them, oh God. Spare lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, a Great Prophet. We all know, saints, that he is the Son of God. And when he was here on earth, he was 100% man and also 100% God. But one of the things that we fail to mention and we need to be reminded is that the people during his day all recognized that he was a great prophet. And so we need to look deep at the Word of God this morning and ask God to reveal some of the things that Jesus prophesied. Now, there are many modern day prophets, and many of them hear from the Lord, and some of them are striking and startling prophecies. But we need to always point back to the Word of God, to the prophet of God. Can I get an amen? Because whatever he says, that will come to pass. Can I get an amen? So are we there at verse 32? It says, let's read together. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will be by no means pass away. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. One of the things that we're going to see in this study this morning, and the reason why we're on this theme, is because I believe we're living in perilous times. I believe that things are being allowed by the Lord. From the very first day of that prophetic event that took place on Elul 1, meaning the first day of Elul on the Jewish calendar, we saw that giant solar eclipse pass through the nation. And many prophetic teachers are convinced that that was a sign of judgment to come, and that God was given this nation 40 days, no differently than Nineveh, to repent, and that things would come our way to shake not the nation, but shake the church. This message this morning is for the church. You see, the world cannot see the things you and I see. God has enlightened us. God has given us the spirit of prophecy through the Holy Spirit. And so when we see things written in the Word of God, we can embrace it. Why? Because it's from the Lord. It's from Him Almighty. And so in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when God speaks, He's not speaking in the natural. He's speaking in the prophetic. And the terms of prophecy, of things that were spoken and things that will come to pass. Can I get an amen? Are we there? Revelation 19:10. Look, it says, it says, I fell at his feet. This is John the Revelator. This is John the Apostle. He had the privilege and the honor to be caught up into the third heaven. No differently than Paul the Apostle. They were chosen to take a glimpse of the things that were to come. And he says, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not, that I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Then the angel said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the what? Spirit of prophecy. So everything that we're going to read is all scriptural. It's all about what God said what would happen in the days of during the time that he lived, and also he allowed us to see these things come to pass 2,000 years later. So we're going to take a closer look of what our Lord Jesus spoke out in the spirit of prophecy. Saints, Jesus prophesied what amazing future events in his Olivet Discourse. Are you familiar with that? The Olivet Discourse is where he sat with his disciples prior to him being killed for you and I. Did you know that he laid down his life for you and I? And so we have to look back to look ahead. We always got to look back to see what was spoken of him, what was prophesied, and then the words actually that came forth from the Lord Jesus. So Moses prophesied that God was going to raise up a prophet for our last generation. And we all seen photos of Moses and everything. Let's go to this clip. You know, I gave Charlton Heston a break this morning. We always put Charlton Heston and let my people go. But in Deuteronomy, let's go there. Deuteronomy 18, 17, it says, and the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good, and I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. So the Lord Jesus was prophesied by Moses that God was going to raise up a prophet from amongst them. Hallelujah. Now Moses didn't know that was going to come a little further down the road, but it came to pass. Now, there was also one crying, a voice crying in the wilderness, and everyone thought that he was the prophet. Let's look at this. Remember John the Baptist? Okay, everyone thought that John the Baptist was the prophet. And he was asked if he was that prophet that Moses said that would come. But we find out in John 1, let's go to John 1, chapter 19. It says, now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? Why did they ask, are you the prophet? Because Moses said that there would be a prophet coming amongst them. He said, and he answered, no. Okay, so we can now eliminate John the Baptist as being the prophet. Look at verse 22. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So this is identifying that Jesus, when John saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That not only Jesus was going to come and give his life. We sung a song, I give myself away. Well, Jesus gave himself to us. Can I get an amen? Amen. He died for that the church can be birthed for such a time as this. And so, during the time that Jesus, in his 3.5 years of ministry, he did so many miraculous things, and some of the things were so profound that the only words that they had was, you have to be a prophet. See, they didn't understand that he came from heaven and that he was 100% God, 100% man. They didn't have that theological understanding. And so the only thing they could sum up at the time was, he has to be a prophet. Well, look at this clip here. When he fed 5,000, he fed 5,000 on the hillside. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it was a miraculous event. It was something that was not heard of during that time or ever. But let's look how they responded to these wonderful acts of kindness and how he blessed the people during his time. Let's turn to John 6 and 11. Look at this. And Jesus took the loaves. Remember, he took the boy's sack lunch. God will use anything. That's right. Never think you have nothing to offer up to the Lord. Whatever you have to offer up to the Lord, he will take that and multiply it. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples said to those sitting down, likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were all filled, he said to his disciples, hey, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. You know, the Lord's mindful even of the things that people waste. He's like, gather them up. Now look at verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over for those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, look what they said. This is truly the prophet who has come into the world. And he did not refute them. He didn't rebuke them. He said, oh no, don't put that label on me. No, he was God Almighty standing in front of them prophesying and there as witness what Moses had testified that the prophet would come. Hallelujah. And then we have confirmation. You always got to go to God's word to confirm these things. Can I get an amen? Now, before we go to the next clip, how many believe that the power of God was on the apostles when the Holy Ghost was poured out? And who remembers the one that ran away when Jesus was being scourged for our sins and he was getting beaten? Who is the one that ran away? Peter, right? But then when the power of the Holy Ghost came, then he started prophesying. Hallelujah. And thousands of souls were coming to the Lord. But even Peter prophesied on how awesome the Lord Jesus was as a prophet. Let's turn to the book of Acts right there. Look at this. This is him in the council. This is just a photo I dug up. But he's speaking to the Sanhedrin. He's trying to let them know that those of you who crucified him and then those of you who are now persecuting us, it was Jesus, hallelujah, the great and awesome God who was a mighty prophet. Turn with me to Acts 3. Let's look at this. And this is Peter. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a what? Prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed among from the people. So even Peter was saying, listen to the prophet. Everything that was written that the Lord Jesus spoke, he prophesied on the things that would come. Are you with me? Amen. Look at verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these. You are the son of the prophets and of the covenant with God made you our fathers, Abraham, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did you catch that? Verse 26. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Thank you, God. So Jesus had to come on the scene to deal with our iniquities, to deal with our transgressions. And so saints, Jesus prophesied many things. And one profound prophecy was his death, his burial, and resurrection. He prophesied his own death because he was the mighty prophet. Man, aren't you so blessed that God hasn't given you that prophecy about your own life? Man, I don't think none of you want to know, man, here comes that day. God forbid. That would frighten you, man. You would. I don't have no more hair to lose. Some of you would lose your hair. You knew that day's coming. But he prophesied on the day that he was going to be taken up. Look at this. Behold, We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day, he will what? Rise again. Hallelujah. Saints, there are so many beautiful songs. I picked up this little 30-minute clip of a song that we should always be singing. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus has rose from the dead. Can I get an amen? Come on, let's go to this clip. Come on.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming
back.
Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Yes, amen. Amen. Saints, Jesus prophesied about these three towns who denied what he was preaching. All the miracles that he did, everything that he came to testify that his Father sent him, there were three towns that have rejected him. And I'm looking across our nation right now, and I truly believe people need to wake up because they are rejecting of what he said what would happen in the last days. Can I get an amen? That mocking is still here. And for some of us, should the Lord tarry, we're going to be in Jerusalem come April. Can I get an amen? And I think we've already bought our plane ticket. Our seats are reserved. But we're going to go through these towns right up here. And I'm going to ask, can you identify what they are? Let's go up here. There's three of them up here. There's one to the top right. There's one to the top left. And there's one on the bottom. Okay, yeah, Capernaum's one. That's on the bottom. One is Chorazin. What's the other one? Sidon. Or Sidon. Now look, before we go anywhere on this, look at them right now. Look at the condition they are right now, 2,000 years later. Jesus cursed these towns for their unbelief. He did most of his miracles in Capernaum. He raised the dead, man. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. Those who were bedridden, he raised them up. And yet, they rejected him. And nothing's changed in 2,000 years. There's still people rejecting him this day. They have kicked them out of our colleges. They have kicked them out of our high schools. They have kicked them out of our elementary school. They've kicked them out of our court systems. They've kicked them out of our towns and our society. And now we're seeing calamity come because of that. But look at Matthew 11:20. Let's go to the word. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done. His mighty works were happening in these towns. And he had to rebuke the cities. Why? Because they did not repent. Saints, we've had already two calamities. One in Houston, one's right now as we speak, hurling up the coast of Florida. And the same theme is the same. We will rebuild. We will be strong. Is anyone going to cry out? Is any of the governors, is anyone in high seats going to say, we have sinned before a holy God? They keep covering that up. They won't mention it. But God is telling us today, hey, my word will not come back void to me. Can I get an amen? It will not come back void. Look at Matthew 11:20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for the mighty works which you are done, which in you had done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Look at this. But I say to you, it is more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sidon, it would have remained until what? This day. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So let's go back one more time. I want us to have come back one more. Look, that's what's left of them. That's it. God, Jesus prophesied, this will take place because you denied my great works. And I'm looking at our nation right now. They're still rejecting him. We are founded on the word of God. Our forefathers founded this nation and have removed every aspect of the living word of God out of our system, out of our society. And so, on the last week of his life, he sat with his disciples and he prophesied their current events as well as ours for that generation and for our generation. It's been called the Olivet Discourse. Let's go there. The Olivet Discourse, the coming of the Son of Man according to Jesus. Saints, when he comes back, it's not a picnic time. We're not going to be in a picnic. Oh, Jesus is here. It's going to be in turmoil. The world's going to be upside down. People are going to be crying out for mercy. Jesus prophesied of the destruction of the temple. And 40 years later, it came to pass. Let's go to Matthew 24, 1 and 2. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Why did God allow this place to be torn down? Because the whole nation went into idolatry. The scribes and Pharisees were all about this. They didn't care about the people. And when God was standing right before them, they had no eyes to see, no ears to hear, and they could not bear witness in their own soul that he was the Son of God right before him. So let alone us who have never seen him. Now God is saying, you need to walk in faith now. Can I get an amen? It's time to walk in faith. None of us have seen him face to face, but they did. They did. Let's look at this up here. That was the temple on the top in the days when Jesus prophesied. When they were on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, all they had to do was look across the Kidron Valley and saw the great temple up there. He prophesied that that whole temple was going to be destroyed. And so 40 years later, look at the bottom. It was burned down to the crisp. Came to pass. Jesus spoke it. And it came to pass. And so, saints, Jesus then explains to his disciples in a very clear, detailed order what will take place in their generation and ours, all in chronological order. Hold on to your seatbelts. Here we go. Number one, he talked about cults, false Christ. Notice I put a little C. False Christ. Oh, yeah. Let's go to the clip. Time magazine have exploited them. If the secular world can exploit cults, how about us who have the Holy Ghost? Huh? We should be able to discern all of these things. Jim Jones and David Koresh and all these false Christs that have risen up. Well, they're not new in our generation. They rose up back in Jesus' time. It's recorded in the literature of the Jewish writers of the time, like Josephus. They documented things and saw these false Christs that would arise. But look at Matthew 24, 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. One of the greatest deceptions across this land right now is the prosperity gospel, that everything's going to be all right. All you have to do is keep giving more than you should give, and you'll be able to live in East Lake Woods and have a caddy SUV in your garage. Just keep on giving more and more and more. And no one's talking about the sin that's in the church. Man, look at this, Matthew 24, 11. These many prophets will rise and deceive many. Many. Now, this is me. I shared this with Brother Felipe, but this is me, and I'm asking God to give me clarity. But when that devastating place took place in Houston, there was one pastor was called on the carpet. And let me just say this. Thousands of churches around this country has tried to model that church. I want to be that prosperous. That prosperous church, I want to be like that. And God, I believe, allowed that to there to say, you know what? You better flush down that prosperity gospel. Flush it down the toilet, because it's not of the Lord. It's not. God's more worried about the condition of the heart than someone's wallet. Can I get an amen? He wants us to be right before Him. Matthew 24, 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. We are the elect. We are the elect. And all these other gospels that are out there, God is saying, uh-uh. Line yourself up with the Word of God. Can I get an amen? I've been to churches. Man, I want to see that $50 line right here. There's a $100 line right here. Oh, who's giving $1,000? Oh, look. I've seen the shenanigans. Oh, it's 2017. God told me that you need to write a check for $2,017 and God will bless you. Come on. That's a false cry. That's a false gospel. Saints, Jesus said that leaders would be like wolves in sheep's clothing. Look at this right up here. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. They want to drain everything you got while they live on Sugar Hill. Matthew 7, 15, it's right there. Look at this right up here. Saints, the explosion of the cults began in the 1900s, starting with the Mormons. The Mormons to the left. And then these guys came. Have anyone knocked at your door yet? Well, you're on their list. I'm sure they'll knock at your door one time or another. You know how I get rid of them? Not just say, man, you know, and not to debate with them. I say, come on, let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us. Let's have the Holy Ghost fall on us. Man, they exit stage left, Murgatroyd. You remember that cartoon? I do. They're gone. Boom. They don't want no part of the things of God, the true things of God. They come with their humanistic written mandates that come from men and not come from God. You notice on the Mormon church, you know, how many of you have been past La Jolla? It looks like something out of Disneyland. There's no cross up there, is there? There's a little golden thing that's up there. There's nothing about Jesus. Many, 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 many cults. The explosion of the cults, like I said, it happened in the 1900s, and they're predominant today. Number two, Sign of world politics. Sign of world politics Jesus talked about. Let's look at this. This has been such a controversy since we were not even born. Many of you weren't born before 1948, were you? Some of you are just babies in here. Praise God, I was born in 58. Anyone born prior to 48? Oh, we got one. Here we go. Praise the Lord. God's graciously been good to you. And you're still with us. Amen. But God said, Jesus said, look at this in Matthew 24, 6 and 7. Look at this. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. And that Greek word is ethos, meaning ethnic groups. Are we divided right now? You got the Ku Klux Klan over here. You got this over here. You got that over there. All rising up at the same time. And God's trying to shake us. Wake up. Can you smell the coffee? Saints, in the 20th century, more than 100 million have died in all devastating wars. 100 million. Since these wars that have been taking place since the time of, at the time of Jesus and to our present time. Look at World War I and World War II, and then the Vietnam War, and then the Iraqi War, the war that keeps on going. Why does men love the war? Because their hearts are far from God. They're far from God. Saints, thinking of the unthinkable is a nuclear war. And how many already have seen that there's a madman in North Korea that can't wait to bomb us? He's like a bully. You ever had a bully in high school? Man, all he did was pick on you. And then finally, when you had the nerve to face him, he ran. Well, look at this. The unthinkable. Thinking of the unthinkable. Rising fears about nuclear war. It's all over. It's all over the world around. People are nuked up. It's almost like they're waiting for this day to take place. Waiting. Look at this right here, saints. In all the wars since World War I, all the ammunition, all the firepower that they came up with since World War I, this is 100 times greater. This one submarine. This one submarine has 100 nuclear missiles ready to fire off and destroy a country like that. This is where we're at right now. Look at all the slots right there, and then they just come up right after another. Boom, boom, boom. Now, thank God that's one of ours. But North Korea has about 100 of these. And you don't know where they're lurking. This is why we need to be prayed up. Can I get an amen? One nuclear sub has more firepower than all the previous wars combined throughout history. And saints, Jesus mentions in Luke 21, 26, men's heart failing them, what, from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We're seeing shaking right now. And if half or all of Houston that has been displaced, if that's not a shaking, I don't know what it is. And as we speak, 9 miles an hour, that hurricane is hovering over Florida right now. When I left, man, the Florida Keys were underwater. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. But saints, I think other than the Lord allowing these natural disasters to take place, it's man's dark heart that would bring something like this. That's on the horizon. Because Jesus said these things would happen, that men's hearts will fail them. Listen, if one of these were lit up in one of our cities, there's some folks, their hearts are going to fail them not knowing that our city's next. Let's look at number three. Jesus talked about natural disasters of what happened. Oh, yes, he did. In Matthew 24:7, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. This man was a mighty prophet. Listen to the words of God, because Jesus cannot lie, because he is God, and there is no darkness in him. Can I get an amen? Everything that he hits is coming, it will come to pass, has come to pass, and will come to pass. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various, various places. Look what we just saw a week and a half ago. That was Harvey. That was supposed to drench Corpus Christi, but it turned. You know what Corpus Christi means? Body of Christ. People were praying, and bam, unfortunately, it went to Harris County. And we all know what we spoke about. That was the place of Planned Parenthood that chopped up the body parts and were selling them. And that was a time 2 years ago to repent and to tear down Planned Parenthood. God gave them an opportunity to tear it down, exploit them, and destroy that ungodly organization. But what did the DA do? What did the judges do? The pro-lifer that went in and investigated, they turned it around and incarcerated him and swept that sin underneath the carpet. 27 trillion gallons of water dumped on Harris County. Lord have mercy. No one's talking about that. They're not talking about that. Oh, let's pray for the... Yeah, we bring aid. Yeah, we help. That's our Christian duty. But why? Why are these things taking place? Because of the sin. It's no one's saying, no one on the media. You can, man, if you hear it one time, man, I'll take you out to dinner. I'll give you a $100 gift card if you can hear one reporter, one official government, anyone in the high seat saying, you know what? We have sinned before God. No, we will rebuild. It's pride. And then this one right here that's taking place right now, this is Irma. It turned into a Cat 4, and it's like if this was Florida, it's right here right now, and it's going 9 miles an hour going up. Lord, Jesus, help us. Saints, Irma is the biggest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Ocean. And the prophet Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj said that a massive earthquake in LA would soon follow. I had him on last week, if you missed it. He said it, he was in the airport in LA, an angel appeared to him, and said that this city was going to be destroyed by a massive earthquake. And then he got on the plane. He flew into Houston. As soon as he put his foot on Houston, the angel said, this city is going to be destroyed by a massive flood. For those of you that are friends with me on Facebook, I posted up a prophetic site. And four people who don't know each other had the same dream, that a 12.2 was going to hit LA and totally devastate it. I'm saying these things so that you get your house in order. Can I get an amen? It's all about getting your house in order. Why? Because no one wants to say for what it is. The nation has sinned and the church is quiet and silent and won't cry aloud. So we're crying aloud here. Get your house in order. Can I get an amen? I can't emphasize that enough. Get your house in order. Because if this thing comes to pass, we're all in a heap of trouble. As soon as I got wind of that, by the grace of God, It was $377, but I had to. I wouldn't bought earthquake insurance. Because if I have to be displaced, at least I can get reimbursed and go rebuild somewhere else if this happens. But I'm saying, Lord, if calamity like that and that magnitude comes, Lord, bring angels so that we can escape this thing. Can I get an amen? Amen. And when God says to move and go, don't be like Lot's wife. Oh, no. She turned a pillar of salt when she looked back. She was looking at all her possessions. Oh, man, my SUV, my big screen. Oh, no, my Mary Kay, my business, all these things. She looked back when God said, don't look back no more. Lord, help us. How many know that we need God's mercy and grace? This is not a popular message. I know it's not. Some of you thought we were going to just be up here like a Pied Piper. Everything's okay. These storms will pass. Luke 21:11. Let's hear the words of Jesus. And there will be great earthquakes. Great. They're not just little tremor. He said great earthquakes. Can I drive it in any deeper? Great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. We saw a great sign. I showed it last week for those of you that missed it. Millions went out to see the solar. Oh, look. And then I had to play that little clip, man. Of Independence Day, when they all went up to the buildings, oh, look, and it opened its mouth and it zapped them. That's a sign of judgment. Because you have to look at the past to look at the future. And every time that has come across an entire nation on the Hebrew calendar of the Lord 1, God was saying, this nation needs to repent. So there's 40 days from August 21st. The 40 days ends on Yom Kippur. And God is crying out to this nation to repent, to repent, to repent. And it starts with us, the church. Fearful sights will come from him. And look at verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun. What? Okay, so you guys were asleep during the eclipse, right? In the moon, in the stars, on the earth, distress of nations. What perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Okay, so Houston and Irma right now, and Jose's on his way. Jose's right behind Irma. Where did they get these names? Jose. Jose, can you see? It's like, man, but they're coming. They're there. They're here. They're upon us. And 9 states are under fire right now. 9 states are burning right now. Pastor Rod, man, who prays for me in the mornings, is praying for us, Pastor Fee. We can't even open our doors outside. It's so, there's so much smoke. All of Idaho and Montana and Washington and Canada and parts of Utah and all those places right now are uncontrolled fires. And everyone's focusing on the hurricanes, but the fires are taking place. Jesus, help us. Saints, all these great things that are happening is going to cause famine to come. Let's look at this. Famine. Time calls it famine. We think that, oh, it's in the third world countries. Well, guess what? It's coming here too. It's coming here. And God forbid that we are part of a 12.2 earthquake. The magnitude of that is nothing that is on land exists no more. It is toppled and destroyed. I don't care what kind of foundation you have. A 12.2, the magnitude of all that is beyond our human comprehension. Look at this right up here. Even time says, earthquake. We all heard what the Indian prophet said. He said that there's angels on the Andreas Fault with their weapons of war waiting for orders to come. So they would, bam, pounce the ground, and we're done. So, recapping in the position, Matthew said it, Jesus said as he focused on this, let's look at this. These are the birth pains. Let's turn to the next clip here. Look, we got famine. We got Mexico's killer quakes. Viruses all over the world. Then time says, look at the things that are happening, you know, this September. Don't miss that. We haven't seen that constellation in 7,000 years, and it's Revelation chapter 6. No, excuse me, Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Look at this, tsunamis. The flood of 93. How about the flood just recently? It eclipses this. But you know what, saints? There's going to be some, a whole lot, just like in 2 Peter, when the perilous times will come, they will mock the things of God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we see these all the time. You ever seen characters like this? What else is new? There's always been floods and famines and hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, plagues, strange signs in the heavens. Someone needs to give them some Epsom salt. Someone needs to wake up characters like that and say, wake up, wake up. See, this is what the devil has done, especially in the church. He has put anesthesia on their nose and they're all asleep. They're just asleep. Asleep. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:8, but all these things are merely the beginning of what? Birth pains. We're going to see more of these things. These, you know, when a woman is, praise God for you, sisters, man, I wouldn't want to trade places. But those of you who have given birth, man, I'm telling you, I hear the pain is so intolerable that you need to sometimes get those what called saddle blocks. Is that what they're called? To numb you? But like this up here, it's a woman that's, man, the baby's coming now. Jesus said, we just read, it's like the beginning of birth pains. So we can sum up and question a lot of things, but listen to what Jesus is saying this morning. Can I get an amen? This is the word of God. These ain't fairy tales. This is what's taking place now. So we're going to look at this up here, the summary on disasters that Jesus prophesied. He prophesied. And look at this up right up here. Between October 91 and November 205. Now, that is now a distant memory. And more things have taken place. But we need to look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Number one, 9 out of 10 greatest natural disasters are ranked by insurance costs of recent now, since that time frame. Number two, 5 of the costliest hurricanes in U.S. history now, with 6 with Harvey. Costliest. You know how many billions of dollars to even consider rebuilding Houston is beyond mathematical comprehension. The wealthiest man or the wealthiest people in the world cannot rebuild that. They don't have that many resources. Number 3. 3 of the 4 largest tornado swarms in U.S. history. All this before Katrina in 2005. How many remember Katrina? And so then Jesus goes further in his Olivet discourse. He names these things in chronological order. This is for us to take heed. Can I get an amen? Because they are all coming to pass right now. Number four, Christian persecution. You know, just because we haven't seen anyone incarcerated just of yet or killed for their faith, what about the hundreds of thousands in the Middle East that have been beheaded? Aren't they our brothers and sisters? What about the ones in Africa? Villages are burned to death. Aren't they our brothers and sisters? What about the ones in China that are underground? Aren't they our brothers and sisters? Just because we haven't seen that type of calamity here yet doesn't mean that they're not happening. Let's look at this. Newsweek, the war on Christians. And then what David Wilkerson, he wrote a book called The Coming Persecution, where we're going to be apprehended for our faith. Saints, the church needs to wake up. Can I get an amen? Now's the time to wake up. Why? Because Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of this. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. When ISIS arose, they came like a swarm of madmen and destroyed all the Christian monuments and the history of Christianity in the Middle East and killed them. There's photos up here I wouldn't put up here that were so grotesque. Saints, 200,000 Christians have been killed in our generation, and Europe has left Christianity and is turning Muslim. Oh yeah, look at this. Beware, at once Europe loved the Lord, and now they're all Muslim almost. And they're persecuting Christians there. See, just like everything that Jesus said is now in our day and time. This is a time we need to take heed. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then he talked about the apostasy. Let's look at this. The apostasy. You know what the word apostasy means? Yes, that and when people leave the faith. In other words, I'm not in church today. Today's NFL kickoff. I'd rather be at home watching the game. Thank God we don't have the Chargers here no more. Oh, wait a minute. I think there's some that already are on their way to Carson. Saints, look at what Matthew 24:10 says. And then many will fall away. You see what Jesus said? Jesus said this. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. You ever ran into a backslider? Man, they envy you and they wish they were back in. But the devil has duped them. And the devil has a stronghold on them. And they don't see you as your brother and sister no more. They're running from God. They're not running from us. They're running from God. But he said in the last days, many will fall away. They'll fall from the faith. Oh, yeah, look at this right up here. Apostasy in the church. Where is it leading? The persecuted church. I couldn't preach this message in a whole lot of churches around here. They'd run me out. Get out of here with that. Where's the love, brother? Peace. This is what's happening right now. Look at this decline, saints. Declining membership since 1960 through 2000. This is just a survey that was done. In the United Church of Christ, 64% has fallen away. American Baptist, 57% has fallen away. Disciples of Christ, 56% has fallen away. Episcopal Church, 50% has fallen away. And that church became an abomination of God. The Presbyterian Church, 41%. United Methodist Church, 33% have fallen away, just like Jesus said, that there will be a falling away. And look what they fell into. look at this first bishop. Bishop Gene Robinson was the first homosexual that was ordained by the Episcopal Church in USA on November 3rd, 2003, and that's not his best friend. Fallen away. Come on, saints. We need to wake up and smell the coffee. Listen, I love what Brother Albert said to me this morning as we were praying. He says, you've been steadfast on these things since I've known you or since we've been here. Why? Because we're called to be the watchman on the wall. Can I get an amen? Amen. When you speak the truth and when you stand with truth and you come alongside with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, that's when the true blessings come. Can I get an amen? Just flush down the toilet that prosperity garbage. That's all it is. Oh, you didn't give enough in this offering. We need to take another offering. Man, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Then Jesus said that the breakdown of the society would take place. Look at that. The breakdown of society. Oh, yes, he said. He said society was just going to melt. It was going to be confused. It was going to be lawlessness and all kinds of things. Society will no longer be the same like it's intended to be. I got word for that. Matthew 24:12. Let's go there. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. People will walk up to you. Man, you got a dollar? No, I go, bam! And just shoot you. And take your tennis shoes with it. Come on. Oh, okay. They don't happen here in our city, huh? Man, they're happening everywhere. You don't want to walk in the streets of Chicago in the daytime or nighttime. Did you know that's a war zone over there? There's over 100 killings a week there. People getting blown away, shot. Saints, Jesus emphasizes in 24:37, but as the what? The days of Noah were, so also will be the Son of Man be. Listen to Jesus. He said, just as the days of Noah were, that's when he will return. And how is it right now? It's wicked. It's lawlessness. Sin abounds. But yet grace much more abounds. Can I get an amen? Come on. Wherever there's darkness, there is light as well. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And we have the light. We need to rise up. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And show this dying world that Jesus is alive and well. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Come on. It's like the days of Noah now. Oh, yes. It's just like the days. It was very violent, very wicked. And God had to flood it with water. And then he made a covenant with mankind. I will never destroy the earth with water again. Never again. Never again. And these heathens took the rainbow that was in the sky that God made a covenant and has what? Perverted it. Perverted it. And so this is what's in our land now. The porno plague. Time says. See, you know, back in the day when I was in high school, you know, junior high, there was only one place that you, if you wanted to, an escape to see something like this, was on National Avenue. It was called the Paris Cat. Paris Cat Theater. I'm not going to say the other word. And you know what? You had to sneak out late at night if you're going to go in there. You didn't want no one to see you there. Huh? My goodness. Oh, yeah. That's when you were really called the night creepster. Creeping out at night. You didn't want no one to see you, huh? And look at the gun violence now. Jesus spoke of these things. The breakdown of a society. Listen, the enemy first uses this to get your heart away from God. Especially men as leaders, as fathers. If he could get your mind captivated on these immoral things, you don't have time to raise up anybody in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You'd be so corrupted in your heart, and your mind will be taken away. It's almost like it captivates you, and you have no longer a mind of your own no more. It's all been engulfed with all these images, and they sear and they burn in your and they don't leave you. And then the gun violence in America. Wow. Jesus talked about this, saints. America has been the immoral polluter in this world. And did you know the capital of the porn industry is in Simi Valley? Now you kind of wonder, these dreams of 12.2 earthquakes coming to LA? Why? Hollywood. There's nothing good that comes out of a movie. God is not mentioned. And what do they promote? Come on, let's be honest here. What do they promote? Fornication? Adultery? Violence? Almost every movie. Oh, well, I'm just going to sleep with this one tonight. I'm telling you, saints, that right there alone, God is saying enough is going to be enough. And hopefully that'll wake up the church. It's the church he wants to wake up. The church. And then Jesus said the best point of through all this gross darkness is this, the preaching of the gospel. This is why we need to come together and attend. Should we still be here if the Feast of Trumpets were not raptured out of here? Then we need to be a part of this wonderful crusade that's coming. Can I get an amen? Amen. And if more shaking happens before October 1st, I'm telling you, saints, that place may be so filled with people looking for answers, crying out to God, backsliders running back to the cross, people in fear. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. People still need to hear the word. Saints, in this discourse, Jesus gave us the biggest clue of his return. Now, this is where, no, saints, we're at the door. How many believe we're at the door? Yeah. Come on, we're at the door. Man, we're almost at the finish line. Hold on to your baton. It's been passed to us. Don't drop it. Don't be disqualified out of the race. Can I get an amen? Let's look up here. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also know when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Thank you, God. Jesus is at the door. Can I get an amen? And look at verse 34. Assuredly I say to you, this generation by no means will pass away till all these things take place. What are taking place? We see the famines. We see the wars. We see the earthquakes. We see the moral decay in our nation. We're seeing society fall apart. We're seeing these tsunamis and hurricanes. We're seeing earthquakes. We're seeing all these must take place. So when we see these things, that's because Jesus said they would happen. Can I get an amen? If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to think, oh, well, this is just a normal occurrence. No, it's not. It's prophetic. And the clock started ticking when this day happened, right up here. The state of Israel was born in 1948. That is the fig tree. If you know your Bible, you go back to the Old Testament, and the fig tree has always been identified with Israel. Know your word. And so now the clock is ticking. And we're here at the door. It's at the door. It's at the door. It's at the door. Saints, the message of Matthew 24 is very clear. It's very clear for you and I. We need to take heed. Can I get an amen? This clip right up here, this is the message of the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is returning. We're living on borrowed time. Are you ready to meet King Jesus? That's the question. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to say, come, Lord Jesus? Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Say that with me. Come, Lord Jesus. Saints, I'm hoping when we gather here tonight at 6 to pray, some of you that normally don't come will have a heart to come and pray for Irma, people in Houston, and that God forbid, allow a 12.2 earthquake to hit LA. If the church is not crying out, these things are going to go. But when the church repents and turns back to God, man, that's when God will hold back. Do you know that prayer holds back things? Especially when the church cries out? But no one cares. Oh, that's right. There's a football game on tonight. I don't know if I can make it. Well, don't you have a DVR? If that's important. Listen, he's coming back soon, amen? And how many of you really want to see him come back? Come on. How many of you really want to see him come back? Let's pray for those who are listening right now. And then I have a song here about his return. And we could all sing together, amen? But if you're listening to this message right now, I pray that not only is the message available to you on MP3, but you could also download the PowerPoint that you probably heard today. All the PowerPoints, all my sermon messages, everything you could download to have a reference point on the things that God is showing us. But if you're listening to this message right now and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, and somehow you stumble onto our website, or someone gave you a copy of the CD, or they said they're pointing you to this message, I'm praying that God will give you an opportunity right now, because he is, to turn to him and watch Jesus do the miraculous in your life. He will translate your heart from darkness into his marvelous light. And I want to pray that God will truly speak to your heart right now if you're listening. So we're going to pray this prayer with you right now and reach out to you, whoever you are. You know, we don't know who listens, but we know people are listening. So if you're listening to this message, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory. Come on, in the house. He's worthy. He's worthy, saints. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.